Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you guys. This is your first time here at Hill City. My name is John Wagler, and I am part of this team here, and just grateful that you are here. If you guys had a spring break last week, congrats on being back. We were in Florida, and good to be back. Got back in bed about 1:40 in the morning, so we're running on fumes this morning. But just so thrilled to be back and coming off like just an incredible Easter time together as well. And so we're going to kick off a new series today called I Doubt It. But before we get into it, I just want to say a couple things. One, if we'd love for you guys, if this is your home church and you want to learn a little bit more about the church in and of itself and what it means to serve and be connected here in our community, we have Teamapalooza that's coming up next Sunday, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. And you can sign up for that either by scanning in on the QR code in front of you that lists out everything that's happening here at Hill City, or you can stop by the welcome area on your way out. And also, the share offering is coming up here in a few weeks. On Mother's Day, we'll kick it off, and we're moving it up. If you were here on Easter, I announced this, that we're moving it up from November into May this year. It's more helpful for the nonprofits, and so we're moving up share. We'll kick it off on Mother's Day, May something, 15th, 13th, 14th, something, somewhere in that range. And so if you've not been around, here's what we do. We ask everyone to be involved, and we ask you to give one day's wage. And this is above and beyond what you would normally give. And then we take this money, and then we find needs in our community. And so we do a lot with adoption and foster care and stopping human trafficking, racial reconciliation, fatherhood initiatives. We're doing some things with special needs as well. And so there's a lot in Next Generation. And so there's a lot that's going to be happening through it. And over the last 9 years that we've been doing this, we've been able to give away $2 million just through this in and of itself. And so excited to do another round of it. Yeah, it's great. So just prepare your bank accounts. And so the series I Doubt It, when I was thinking of what we wanted to do after Easter, this just kind of popped into my head. There's been some things like stirring around this kind of topic of doubt. And how many guys have doubted before when it comes to your faith? Yeah, and if you haven't, you should. And doubt is really important. And it's interesting when you look around at culture right now, there are a lot of doubts about Christianity. There are doubts within Christianity, like Christians who are wondering, like, is this worth it kind of thing? And because of how they've experienced other Christians and what has transpired in front of them. And then you have people who are outside of the church and don't consider themselves Christians or followers of Jesus, and they're looking at Christianity and they have a lot of doubts about it. And there's good reasons for that. When you think about, some of the violence and some of the rhetoric that you see and some of the political topics that start happening and the way, Christians talk about like immigration or abortion or politics in general or, war and violence, whether it's Israel and Gaza or Ukraine and Russia, and you have all these things that are happening all around us and Christians... quite often when people enter into that conversation, they say that they're a Christian, but then you hear them talk and you're like, maybe you're not, or you see their stance and it's like, it's not very loving. You see how they treat other people and you wonder, man, have you ever actually read what Jesus said? And that happens and it creates a lot of mistrust. It creates a lot of doubt with how people see Christianity in and of itself. Yet at the same time, it's fascinating because there's this big wondering that's happening right now because what the secular world puts out there doesn't work. And you see it everywhere. You see it everywhere. And you have all these people questioning things. Not long ago, Richard Dawkins, who led the New Atheist movement years ago, he said this. He's like, man, I'm not sure yet if there is a God or not. But he said, but if there is one, I really want it to be the Christian one. And so you see, like, even in some of the most, like, stark atheists who are, like, so anti-God, there's something inside of them that's like, but it's there's something here that's empty. There's something here that's not right. Tom Holland, not Spider-Man, but he's a writer, Tom Holland, who did this deep dive. It's called Dominion, and he talked about the impact that the Christian faith had in the world. And it's a wonderful book, and it's a historical book. But he was an agnostic before, but he is now like really wrestling with his faith, and it looks like he's coming to a faith in Jesus, and the more he's researched it and everything, there's something, there's this wondering going on. At the same time, there's this tension of what Jesus taught. And there's this tension that people have because what they see in Christianity, what they see in the church, makes them doubt. What they see and what's been transpired, it forces them to wonder, like, do Christians actually believe what Jesus taught? And so we begin to see some of these things right in front of us. And I was thinking about, like, all right, so when you hear some of these conversations and you see some of these interviews and everything, and some of the conversations that I've had with people, and then I hear some others having with people, and asking some of the staff some of the questions that they've had, here's the question that I think this first week that we're going to like really center around, which is this: is Christianity good? And I think, you know, there was a time where the question was, is Christianity true? You know, and that's still, people wrestle with that. But now it seems like because it's so easy to say you're a Christian, and the name Christian, and it's in particular evangelical Christianity, has gotten beaten down so much that this is actually what people are, is Christianity actually good? And so I wanna talk about that in today as one of the biggest questions around doubt. But doubt is an important piece to all of this. There's doubt what Christians say they believe is actually true. There's doubt within Christians that as they begin to wrestle with some of life's questions and everything, and they're trying to do it in community, and then people like come at you for doubting. You know, when I was a young teenager, I had some doubts, and I remember asking one of the pastors at my church growing up some questions about the Bible, and it made me feel like I wasn't allowed to doubt and question and be curious, and I'm not blaming him about that, but it's like that's what he made me feel like, and I think there's some reasons for that. But you can feel like you're not allowed to doubt, and that people get pushed away because of doubt. And because, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be so certain. We're supposed to be so certain about everything. But it is a beautiful thing to doubt. It's a beautiful thing to question. It's a beautiful thing to stay curious about your faith. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to keep asking questions. Because guess what? God doesn't give us certainty. He gives us mystery. And he should, because God is way bigger than we can ever fathom and understand. Are there certain things we can know? Of course. But in the end, none of us are completely 100% certain. Even when this passage in the end of the life of Jesus, I love this part because he has just died and he rose again, and eventually he's about to take back off again. I don't know if that would be the phrase, but send into heaven. And he gets to this point and he's talking to some of his disciples. This passage, and I'll read a few more verses of this in a second, but this passage has become known as the Great Commission, and I don't think we actually fully understand what that means, but it's fascinating. So the risen Jesus, he was dead, and then he comes to the disciples and it says this: when they saw him, they worshiped him, but somewhat. Can you imagine? Like, Jesus died, and then he was there in front of them. Some of them were like, oh, Jesus, I can't believe this. And then some were like, I don't know, man. This is pretty crazy. And it wasn't that they were doubting, is he risen? What they were doubting was, what does this all mean? Because it upended their whole system, the framework that they had of how this world was supposed to work and what the Messiah is supposed to be like, and all, it upended everything. And so they're in this place of like, I don't know what to do with all this. I don't know how to handle all of this. And I have all these doubts because you were dead, Jesus, and now you're alive. And it rattles everything, and it should. But here's the beauty of the doubt. It says this: then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so there is this moment where the people that doubted were still part of this commission that Jesus was given. Jesus didn't look at those disciples and be like, all right, are you 100% certain? Do you have it all together, completely figured out? Because if you do, then you can go into all nations. He's like, no, even those that are doubting and questioning and trying to figure this out, the same calling is put on your life. Is to follow me, you see me and you see who I am now, and here's what I'm telling you to do. Here's what's actually really interesting. A lot of times people, you know, use this passage as a way to say, you just got to keep telling people about Jesus and sharing the gospel. And it's not really that. That is a piece of it, but that's not really what this passage is about. When he talks about going and making disciples, he's actually telling them what you're supposed to do is the rabbinical style of discipleship, which is you're not just sharing this news of Jesus. You're saying to this person that you're sharing this news with Jesus, being like this. Here's what we're gonna do. I want you to follow exactly what I'm doing. I want you to wake up when I wake up and eat what I eat and talk how I talk. And we're gonna read through scripture together and talk about how to model this out in your faith. And you're gonna be just like me because now you're a disciple because I was a disciple of Jesus and this is what it looks like. This isn't just like, hey, Jesus died and he rose again. And you're out. This is like the rabbinical style of everything that is like this depth of relationship and engagement. And guess what? Jesus says, even when you're doubting, you can still do this. Because there's beauty in the doubt because it shows actually that there's a depth to your faith. Because in the midst of this, it's like a wonderful thing to be with someone who is doubting but is also discipling you. Because like, isn't it so great when you have a question and someone else says to you, me too. I've wondered that myself. And sometimes, you know, it's even better when someone, you have a question and they respond with like, I have no idea. I could give you like the Sunday school answer, but that doesn't even make that much sense to me. And there's this beauty about figuring out, and that's what discipleship really becomes. And so I wrote this down this week, that acting 100% certain doesn't make you more faithful, it makes you more easily duped. The problem is so often that as Christians, we act like we have it all together and that we don't doubt. And all of this stuff. I mean, like, think about it, y'all. Like, some of the things we say and some of the stories we go through, we act like they aren't a mystery. We act like they aren't hard to believe. We act like that it all just makes total sense, right? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, like, that makes total sense. Like, people have been trying to explain it for years, you know, and there's a part of it you can grasp, but there's a part of it we just don't understand because it's God, it's bigger than us. Even when someone's like, hey, you know, like, what about creation? It's so simple to understand. I'm like, no, it's not. Who created God? All of a sudden, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, that's too much for my brain, you know. But it creates this feeling of, like, mystery and doubt. And it's a part of our curiosity. It's a part of our faith. And it's important for us to engage. Otherwise, we'll get so duped. But getting back to this question that people doubt about, is Christianity good? So there's this value of doubt, and we understand the doubt. But is Christianity good? That is like a big question. Now, as a follower of Jesus, I believe that it is good. And what typically happens when that question is asked, like, is Christianity good? The first thing we try to do is talk about all the good that Christianity has done. And there is a ton. There is a ton. I mean, you think about like hospitals and education and orphanages and all these different things that have happened like all throughout the world, women's rights and you know, the abolitionist movement and everything else. And it's like, man, all embedded in that is this reality of Christianity. And we could talk about all those things and there is a ton of good. I know it's easy to focus on the bad, but there is a ton of good. But I'm not sure that that's the point for people right now. I think there's some other things that are going on. And when it comes to this, I think three reasons that people can get skeptical and begin to doubt Christianity, because this is what's stirring inside of them. This is what's stirring on inside of them. There's this idea that they're searching for significance. There's a search for significance that I think when it comes to Christianity and understanding is a good, there's a lack of knowledge. And then the third one there is just they know a Christian. And sometimes it makes them hard to believe that Christianity is good. And that's a reality, and that's a truth that we wrestle with. And so I want to go through these three And hopefully, if you're in here doubting and maybe skeptical, maybe this will shed light on why Christianity is good. If you are a Christian, my hope today is like, maybe start taking this a little more seriously and understanding the weight of what it means to this calling. To be a Christian and a follower of Jesus and understand that great commission that we talked about in Matthew 28 as Jesus talked there, it isn't just about saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. And so we've got to accept what it means to take a step in this journey. So this looking for significance part, let's start there. I saw this quote from Stephen Hawking this week, and it says, one can't prove that God doesn't exist, but science makes God unnecessary. And I saw this, and I don't know his whole story. I mean, I was reading a little bit about him, but obviously he's brilliant. But I think about this point, I'm like, would he still feel that way if like he just saw the goodness of God? And would he have felt that way if he saw the goodness of Christianity, what's really in there? And I get it, like there's probably a lot of things that make him doubt, and you know, he got to a place where he viewed humanity, and you can, it's interesting, when you think God is unnecessary, you only have to then see that humans are unnecessary too. And because he got to this place where, like it's all like ordered by something else and just kind of happened. And so humanity is just like a random result. But man, we're all looking for significance. We all want to be known. We all want to feel significant. We all want to feel secure. Like those are the three needs of every human that's ever walked the face of this planet. What's cool about this idea with God is like there's so much significance there. But I was also saw an interview with Will Smith this week. I want to show you a couple of clips from the interview because I just want you to see this idea of how people are like wrestling with significance and like what comes out of their mouth in the midst of this. And even what you'll see here in just a second in these two clips, like some of the, I was like reading through some of the comments, you know, like, oh, that's so deep, or that's so wise, or wow, now I feel seen. And also, I'm like, man, we got a long way to go, y'all. But like, I want you to see some of the things that Will Smith says in his interview.
What does Will Smith believe is the meaning of life?
Well, that's a big one. Just sit here for 30 seconds.
Right up?
Mm-hmm. Look at me. Now look at you while you're looking at me. While you're looking at me.
Dang, he just did it.
Ooh.
I'm trying to. It's not easy though.
You're right. That's where you will find the meaning of life. That's where you'll find it. So whatever that was, when you can make peace with that, that's the meaning of life.
Damn. No. I mean, like, that's not like, I don't know where else to go there. I mean, it feels spiritual. It feels like there's something there, but there's not really anything like there. Like there's a human connection that says, you know, in as image bearers, like if we want to use biblical language, as image bearers, when I see you and you see me, like there is like a connection that's God created element, and there is a connection there, and I get that part of it. But there's also like something like really missing in what's going on there, right? He's placing himself at the center of all of it. You're putting yourself at the center of all of it, and then this other thing, this mysterious, you know, thing. You know, but the wrestling and wondering And you could tell, like, there is something that people are longing for there. And then here's another part, the second part of the interview.
Once you've bought everything you want, and there's literally nothing on earth that you want to buy, I just wish that was a gift that everybody could have, because there's nothing that material can do to satisfy. When you realize that no relationship, that no money, that no kids, no, that, like, there's literally nothing that can make you happy. You gotta make happy in here. You gotta make happy in here with none of that stuff. Mm. It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
So, and is there a little bit of truth in that?
Yeah.
Yes. But there's also something lacking. There's a centering point in this conversation and what he's transpiring. Yes, material things don't make you happy. And he's like, and I wish everyone had a chance to buy everything that they could ever want. And we're all like, yeah, that'd be great. You know, but like the, but there's something lacking at the depth. But what is it? It's like the significance. What's going to bring significance? See, the story of Christianity is so cool around this. And the story even of creation. I want to go back to the beginning of the Bible, because when we start talking about what it looks like in our significance in humanity. And this is part of what makes Christianity so good. And when you pick up the Bible and begin to read it and look at the creation story, all ancient religions have a creation story that predate the Bible's creation story, okay? So before it was ever written. There's all these other ancient narratives and stories that come before the creation story that we know of in Genesis chapter 1. Why is that? Well, everyone in the history of humanity has been trying to figure out why we're here and how do we get here. And most of the other stories typically deal with this battle of the gods, you know, and they have whoever their gods are, there's this battle of the gods, and at the end result was humanity. Or the end, the end result was, all right, you part of the gods, you get that area of the universe, and the other part gets this area. And so they tell all these big stories. But man, the story that is told in the Bible is very different. And how God wants us to be known. How God wants to be known himself, but then how God wants, like, for us to know that, like, he sees us and that we're significant to him. It's very different than all these other creative stories and speaking something differently. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it says this: so God created mankind in his own image. And then listen, when I'm reading here, there's no other ancient texts that talk about creation like this, humanity like this. It says, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was what? And so part of this narrative, even at the start of God's relationship to humanity, is that it's good. That it's good. And that this God desires relationship with his people, and that it's good. And there's significance there. So the Bible's not about us. The Bible's about who God is. Now, we're a part of that story. We get layered in there, but it's about who God is. But it's like an understanding of, when the Bible starts talking about this idea of, like, is Christianity good? It's like the question is God good? It's like, oh, the way God designed everything and created everything is good. He said it was very good. It's a different story than any other kind of belief. Even in the flood story, there's other flood stories that predate, you know, what we have in Genesis chapter 6. There's a flood story of Gilgamesh, but that story hovers around this big flood. And so apparently a flood happened at some point in time with humanity. But the Gilgamesh story goes that the gods were angry. And part of the story was that the gods were angry because the humans woke them up. And so they responded towards that in anger. But the story of what God does is, like, he's not angry at humans. He's angry at sin that's hurt his humans. And then what God is on a mission is to rescue and save humanity. It's a whole different story that starts layering this idea that's good. That's good. And how God sees us, it's good. And that we're, that significance that you're looking for can be found only with a relationship with God. And it's good. And so we see this story of things being good and that the significance of creation, that nothing or no one, like not a mistake. Ruby, there's a 9-year difference between our twins and Ruby, okay? And was Ruby a mistake? No. Was she planned? No. You know, like, I mean, we know how it happened, but like, that's not like it. But like, that was not our ideal. She was not a mistake. No human's ever a mistake. It's significant. And that's why whenever we talk about life in the womb and different things like that, it's like, because it's not a mistake. And this creation's not a mistake, and it's significant. You've been, maybe you were meant to, made to feel like you were a mistake, or maybe your regret and your shame, you feel like you've just been a series of mistakes, but like God doesn't see you that way. He sees you as significant, and God wants you to see the significance of him. It tells a whole different story. The psalmist in Psalm 8 says this, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." This is a good story that the God of all creation cares. It is a good story. The significance of how he sees humanity. Is love good? Yeah, yeah. Like how many of you guys want to be loved by somebody, anybody? Yeah, like because love is good. Love is good. God created out of love. He created out of love, and he created humanity to experience love and to create more what? Love of him and love of one another. To create more love, God creates out of love, and it is good. It is good. It's not random. It is good, and it changes how we see ourselves. It changes our significance. It's like a parent bringing a child into the world. Like, you know what's going to happen. I get it. Like right now, it's like lawnmower parenting. Lacey was talking about this in a book she was just reading. Like lawnmower parenting, where parents just want to plow their way for their kids. So like they don't, like the lines are perfect and the grass is cut perfectly. Like they don't have any problems. They don't have any struggles or anything. Like that's a new form of parenting. Just don't do that, guys. But we know as parents that our kids need to struggle. Our kids need to get hurt. They need to jump off things and break stuff. They need to go away to camps and learn how to be on their own. They need to feel heartbreak. They need to struggle. They need to have failure. They need to be put in difficult situations. They need to learn and grow and we gotta stop being fearful as parents. We gotta like let our kids do stuff. Okay, and that goes beyond like a screen and a phone in front of their faces and all that stuff. And even yesterday on the flight home, there's Delta gets out there and they're like, "Hey, we've got 2 open tickets, you know, for vouchers, whatever." And Lacey looks at me, and we were there with another family who also had a 15-year-old son, and we're like, "What if we just let our 15-year-old stay here?" And they take the vouchers, and we just go home, and they figure it out. And so we tried, and they ended up, but we were gonna do it. We were gonna do it. Why? Because it's like such a good experience. Like they need to learn how to do stuff like that. And so, and grow up, and we just like, we treat, like now parenting is like, and I'm not gonna talk about parenting, whatever. And so my point is this, we know all of those things as parents, yet we still have kids. What is that? It's because there's a love, it's good, it's a blessing. And the same way God created, it's good, you're significant, it's a blessing, and you're meant to be a blessing. So there's something so beautiful there. Now you might say, but look at all the perverse elements of humanity. Look at all the evil. Look at all the suffering. Look at all the pain. Look at all these things that like, man, everything gets so twisted. I would say this to that. If we know something is perverse, then it must also have a purpose. You see, we can't label something as evil or perverse if there isn't something good and purposeful to it. And so we see like, well, then where does that good come from? Is it good? You can get the doubts, but is it good? I want to cover the lack of knowledge as well. So we have this idea of significance. And then as we begin to engage it, there's also this idea of a lack of knowledge. And sometimes it's our own lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's people engaging the Christian faith. There's a lack of knowledge. Sometimes people will say things like this, like all roads lead to the same place. That's actually incredibly offensive to all religions when people say that. When it's like, you know, it sounds good and the bumper sticker looks good, but it's actually really offensive to all religions to say all roads lead to the same place, because every religion says something different and the belief that ends somewhere different and how it works. And so even there, it's like, understanding like this lack of knowledge that we might have, it might be impacting like how we see Christianity and whether or not it's actually good. Christianity tells a very different story, and that's a good thing. Christianity tells this idea that there is a truth. Some of you guys might have heard someone say, you can't say there's absolute truth, which is an absolute statement that they just made. So there's got to be truth, and there's got to be a truth. Now, here's the thing about Christianity. Here's what Jesus says about himself. He says, I am the what? And the what? And the life. So Jesus makes this bold claim, and this bold claim is significant. And there are a lot of other questions that come off of this statement. We're going to wrestle with some of those over the next several weeks together. But we can't ignore the fact that this is a statement that Jesus makes. Now, is this statement good? Well, if his death and resurrection is real, the statement is very good. Because that means death and pain and suffering don't have the last answer. But he does, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so this statement becomes very good in essence. And so then you might be thinking like, okay, then it's about having the exact right theology. That's good, right? Does anyone in here have the exact right theology? No. Do you know who had the best theology in the Bible? Demons. They did. They boldly proclaimed who Jesus was when no one else was. They had the exact right theology. But right theology without being in line with the Spirit of God is demonic. So you can say the right things, and you can say you know the truth, and you can say all this stuff, but really you don't have the correct kind of wisdom and knowledge that we're supposed to have. And it becomes demonic, and that's why we see all this evil and suffering and sin and pain in the world. And so what's fascinating and what's so good about this story of Jesus is that it says, if this whole Jesus thing is true, it's really good. It's really good, because it gives us a way. It gives us a way to life. It gives us a way to see what my life is actually about and the fullness of it. It gives me an opportunity to know that this pain and suffering and all this stuff that we see, it's like it doesn't have the last word, and it's really good. That's really good. But it's also good because it says, if this Jesus thing is true, it's also really good because it says that the Spirit of God will begin to work inside of us if we choose to follow Jesus. He actually says it this way in John 16, 13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all what? Isn't that good? To discover truth? To discover what it really means to be human? Discover what it really means to love one another, what love God properly. See, what's good about Christianity is not having all the answers, and then the Spirit of God leads us into truth. And that's a constant state in your life. The most mature believers I know that as they get older, they talk about how little they know. There are certain things they are certain of and hold fast to. But as the older they get, they're like, I used to think so specifically about this one thing, but now it's a little more gray than I thought. It's a little more nuanced than I thought. And it's part of it. And the Spirit of God is leading them into truth. What's good about Christianity is having the Spirit within us. What's good about Christianity is that following Jesus doesn't require us to earn his love or earn any kind of grace. The grace is received through the cross and resurrection. What's good about Christianity is we don't have to give up desire. We just need to have it properly ordered. So many other religious beliefs are trying to get you to, like, desire is a bad thing, but it's like, no, desire can be a good thing in its proper context. What's good about Christianity is that it's the most diverse faith out there. It's the most diverse faith out there worldwide. And here's what's good about Christianity is it says to love your enemies. And that your enemy is actually not another person. that's really good about Christianity. It's good. So imagine if it's true. It's really good. It's really good. What's good about Christianity is that it produces fruit within us. Galatians 5 says this, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Are those things listed, are they good? They're good. And that's what's supposed to be produced in a Christian. Those are good things. Which leads me to the last part, experiencing Christians. I think what makes people doubt, be skeptical, is they're wondering because they feel this hole in themselves and that this need to feel significant. I think there's this lack of knowledge with all of it, and it's like, all right, like, how do I wrestle with this stuff? But then I think when it comes to, like, they can get on board with a lot of the things I just said about Christianity being good, but then they meet a Christian. Not all Christians are bad, y'all. Like, some of you guys are wonderful. I didn't say all of you. Some of you guys are, just kidding, y'all are wonderful. There's a lot of wonderful Christians out there. There really are. There really are. But a lot of times people have had like a hard time with Christians. You know, maybe they grew up in a church environment that was abusive. Maybe they saw leaders in their church have a horrible like moral failing and that really wrecked how they saw this whole faith thing. Maybe they see all the church scandals and, you know, that's part of like their upbringing. Maybe they had like really difficult family members who kept claiming that they were Christians, but they were abusive to them in some kind of way. And so the idea of abuse was centered on this reality of Jesus as well. And so there are a lot of things that muddy the picture for people in experiencing Christians. When they see, you know, how maybe Christians live their lives around, you know, sexuality and it's like not any different. They're like, oh, like the message gets muddied. When they see around, you know, money and time and like you name it, it's like, is there really a difference? And you can see why people, like as they get around Christians, it becomes pretty difficult sometimes to figure out, is it actually good? When they get around followers of Jesus, do they see that fruit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Do they see those things coming out of them? If they don't, you can understand why they would doubt. You can understand why it's easy to doubt, is Christianity actually good? And so I want to give you guys a couple of questions to my Christians in the room. How do people experience Jesus when they experience you? If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you really have to wrestle with that. Like, what do people think of Jesus when they experience you? Not just as a friend, but as a coworker, or as a parent, you know, as a husband, as a wife, a brother, a sister, whatever. Like, how do they experience Jesus when they experience you? Or how about this? Does your life show that you're wholeheartedly bought into the message of Jesus? Not perfect at it, but just bought in. Does it show it? And the last one there is, how do you get to Jesus without the church? And the reason why I said that last one, because one of the things that I see so much now, in particular over the last, I don't know, decade or so, is this idea that Christians will say things like this: I'm down with Jesus, I'm just not down with the church. I don't know how you do that. One, because Jesus started the church, and it was his idea. But two, it's this embodiment of believers coming together that really make our faith go. We can't do this individually. We can't do this like outside of a church grouping of people. And to those that are skeptical or doubting, I just have one thing for you. What if this is true? What if this is true? If it's true, it's pretty good. There's a lot there. But if you're skeptical or doubting, you've got to wrestle with that part. Because at the end of the day, the question of Christianity being good comes down to, what do you think of Jesus and what do you think Jesus thinks of you? That's ultimately what this all comes down to. You guys bow your heads. God, we pause here for just a second and first are just grateful you allow us to doubt and ask questions. And God, first, I want to, for anyone in the room that is in a place of just trying to figure this stuff out, maybe you've been in church for a long time, but just you've had a lot of questions, and you're just kind of stepping back into church. Maybe you took a break for a while, whatever. God, I pray that there would be a deep conviction and an openness to what this means to follow you, to see the goodness of this faith and what it means for our lives and the fullness that we can experience through you. But God, also, if someone's in here doubting in that space, to know that it's okay. It's okay. You can handle doubts and you can handle questions. God, for anyone in the room that is just trying to figure out whether or not they want to follow you at all, they have a choice. Is this true? And if it is true, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to believe that he did indeed die and he rose again? And what does that mean for my life? And how do I live this out and begin to do this in community here? But you have a choice to make. What if it's true? And then to my Christians in the room, God, I pray that we will feel the weight of what it means to follow you in a good way, in a challenging way, not in a shameful way or a legalistic way, but just the beauty of it, the responsibility, the accountability, what can be produced through us, this idea of the fruit. And if we don't see it, God, that the Spirit, that your Spirit will lead us into truth, to deeply convict what needs to change. So God, is this question of, is Christianity good? I don't see how anyone can answer that it isn't good if you get to the heart of it all. We can muddy the message, but man, when you really boil it down, it is good. Sure, we have doubts and questions within it, but it's good. And it's good because of that cross and that resurrection. So God, we thank you that we get to be a part of this. We thank you that we have a choice within it. We thank you that we get to experience the fruit that you have for us. And we give this to you. In your name we pray, everyone said, amen. Before you guys get out of here, if you'd like prayer,